This is the 4th of May. The procedure which I'm going to tell you about this morning is the interweaving procedure with viewpoint straight wire. Now, it might appear to you when you first test or try to do viewpoint straight wire that there isn't anything else than that you could do. I mean, it would just seem that you pretty well filled up everything in all classifications and so forth. Well, there's one thing you haven't filled up. And you will notice this on a case as you go along. Now, you could take just viewpoint straight wire, you know, and carry along with it very nicely without too much difficulty. As a good auditor, looking for other things in the case that might possibly be speeded up or something like that, all of a sudden a demon steps out in front of the fellow or something of the sort, and this alarms him a great deal. And he's so alarmed that he doesn't go on processing easily. He keeps thinking about this. Well, you'd have sense enough, of course, being a professional auditor, to duplicate the demon several times. You see, by duplication of this same thing several times, you actually raise his tolerance in viewing it, which again is immediately on the goal of this process, which is to raise the tolerance of the individual. You see, it's far more frightening to view 15 or 20 demons than one, actually. And you've just raised his tolerance from one demon up to 15 or 20. So that's right along the goal of processing, duplication of such sudden automaticities, particularly frightening ones. All right, let's take the process itself. And there is a very complete process here. But remember that this process is inside space, since it's talking about a viewpoint. You recognize that. Actually gives a person tremendous tolerance of space so as to go up into knowingness. But it is inside space, most of this process, and you're getting him to tolerate things one after the other. Now, there's a consideration which goes along with anything and everything that we're doing, which must be taken into account. And that is the dynamic principle of existence as announced in 1947. The dynamic principle of existence is survive. Life is surviving. Those things which we know of as life forms are each and every one of them trying to survive. Whatever else they're trying to do, they're trying to survive. All right, what limitation does this have? Well, it doesn't have any limitation at all when applied to life forms. 1947, dynamic principle of existence, is just as true today as it was in 47, as it was when the first book was issued. And no, what happens is the enlargement of beingness, when it exceeds the life form, unfolds into a fan, you might say, which gives you that curve: create, survive, destroy. But when you have assumed that curve, you have stepped off the dynamic principle of existence of a life form. You are now dealing with something else. Now, it'd be very, very easy to get poetic and call this something like a God form. It would be truer than poetic, actually. But when an individual's attention comes away from executing the business of existence 24 hours a day as a life form, it starts to come away from survive, and only then comes away from survive, and develops then into the curve of which survive is a part. Now, the cycle of action of the messed universe is the curve: create, survive, destroy. However, a life form is at the point survive. That is all it is concentrated on. Persist. It knows nothing else. There is no further reason for it whatsoever. It has no additional rationale. Now, how would we take this factor, being such a powerful and embracing factor, how would we take this factor into account with a process which was yet a very easy process? Well, it would require that we had already understood the human experience equivalents of space, energy, and matter. The equivalents in terms of human experience of space, energy, and matter are, in that order, be, have, and do. I refer you to Scientology 8-8008, which actually today is the book which has more technical information in it than any other single book. That book, 8-8008, is the book which contains all the information accurately, and it contains a great deal about be, have, and do, and universes, and so forth. And it is a book that an auditor should have and should understand entirely, because I'm not going to cover this morning why, in all of its ramifications, space in human experience becomes beingness. Why doingness in human experience becomes energy, or energy in human experience becomes doingness. And why time becomes havingness. And yet that is the case. Be, do, have. You could, at first glance, you would say this is obviously space, energy, and matter. Actually, in human experience, we then get a sufficient factor added to matter, you see, to get this thing called time. And so you can just put it down for your everyday use. That's just as true today as it ever was. That when you talk about beingness, in human experience, beingness, we translate that over into the form of mechanics, universes, as space. And if we want to solve a problem in space, we solve a problem in beingness. Of course, it's very easy to see how energy becomes doingness, but it'd be just a little more difficult to see how time becomes havingness. And yet it does. We have the old phenomenon of a case stuck on a time track. If you want to unstick a case on the time track, all you have to do is increase his havingness. And you will unstick him on the time track. That's that. Very simple. Time in human experience becomes havingness. That's really all there is to it. And for further details on this and a great deal more discussion and so forth, as I say, I refer you to Scientology 8-8008, which is the area where all this material was developed. And which, by the way, we're still leaning on and working from. Scientology 8-8008 is not something which has been developed and then abandoned or bypassed or overridden. It is the mass of data which we're using, and we're depending on it consistently and continually. Well, all right. It means then that in this process which you have called viewpoint straight wire, you are not immediately handling time if you are handling viewpoints. Now, there are other straight wires that you could use which would more clumsily represent havingness than the one I'm going to give you. You could go out on the basis of a very complicated basis, let me assure you, making space with speech, you know. Give me somebody you wouldn't mind making a universe with speech or something like that. I mean, there are many ways it could be handled, but they're all relatively clumsy. So let's go over onto a much more intimate and direct problem here and find that we can use these principles of be, do, and have. So this is be, do, and have straight wire. Be, do, have straight wire. Now, survive translates easily into approval. Now, you say that's quite a gap there. It's not much of a gap. An individual in this society survives in ratio to the amount of approval he obtains. And he declines to the degree of the amount of disapproval which comes his way, or the amount he is ignored. If you think you could live as a body in this society without approval or disapproval, try it sometime. It's not possible. Attention itself is the factor here which you can see fits very easily into this. In other words, attention. An individual survives actually as well as he is able to maintain attention. you know, is able to give attention, receive attention. Well, instead of attention, let's say approval as a condition of attention. And therefore, we get this wisecrack, which you hear auditors making every once in a while, and that is a license to survive. Every once in a while, the HAS hears this in the light of certificates. It's a very peculiar thing, although auditors joke about these certificates and so forth. They themselves, being somewhat more enlightened, considerably more enlightened than the public at large, you see, look at these things and they say, why, good heavens, I mean, all of this paper, heaven's sakes, all of these certificates from these various organizations with which the HAS has understandings and so forth, I mean, good heavens, what could you do with all this paper? Just go out and show it to the society. Try and do something without it being plastered on the wall. That's all. That's the answer. For instance, a member of the church had a small card printed, and having already obtained his ordination and so forth, thought no more about it, and the other day went through a fire line. He went through a fire line just like that and gave some emergency auditing to somebody who had been suffocated in the fire and brought him out of it and knocked out the trauma. He just simply pulled a calling card out of his pocket, which said on it that he was a doctor of divinity. And the firemen just opened up that fire line. Well, by golly, I don't think they'd open up a fire line to a mayor. The one thing they always let inside a fire line is a priest, a chaplain, a minister, or a newspaper reporter. We don't have any particular cards on this, but if you want to become a special correspondent sometime in the Journal of Scientology, you're... Now, being fairly well enlightened as a group and fairly well liberated from many of these prejudices, it is often a case whereby you have gapped away from the society. You have left a bit of a chasm of understanding between you and the society. Just because you yourself no longer find certain things necessary, you sometimes are prone to assume in the field of agreement that the society no longer finds these things necessary. Well, if you're going to do anything in this society or for this society, you'll find out that it demands licenses to survive. It demands them. And they better be good, accurate ones, and easily checked back and founded on fact and all that sort of thing. It probably means, in processing a pre-clear, the difference between 15 minutes of opening procedure and 10 or 12 hours of slug and apology, just having a piece of paper up on the wall, which is beautifully engraved and says you know your business. Somebody's granted you, evidently, a license to survive. The pre-clear sees this, and he says, why, this fellow knows his business. Of course, I'm as good as well already. You see, it's not an artificial thing. It is part of the woof and warp of existence itself in the society, these licenses to survive. Well, all right. Survival translates, when we hit into the field of attention strongly, translates into approval and disapproval. And so we get a key phrase which applies to any of the dynamics and which applies to be, have, and do. More euphonic to say be, have, and do, but it's not the accurate scale because energy condenses into matter, you see. There is this bridge there where then you will be able to have a time sequence in a straight wire process simply by using this key phrase. Now, a model using part of the phrase, or using the phrase itself, I would go something like this. Give me something they will let you have. Now, tell me something or think of something that you will let them have. Now, something that people will let people have. That's on time, and that's a direct process of time. If you went ahead on viewpoints exclusively and tried to use this other unwieldy concept of, making viewpoints with effort and so forth, you would find that you were losing a little time in the case. You were losing a little time because you were not very directly processing time. So we interlard viewpoint straight wire with behave and do straight wire, and at no time do we ever confuse these two processes. They are cousins. They're not brother and sister. They're not the same process. They're cousins. Because in the behave and do straight wire, we get immediately this factor of survival approval. And we directly process approval, just like that. And when we have processed approval, we also process time. And we've gotten about the highest echelon bridge there that you could build between a free mind and a thoroughly condensed and mired down society. Well, that is and should be the bridge between the auditor and the preclear. He is somebody with a free view and a very high tolerance level, communicating with somebody who is, without his assistance, about to become a rock. As you run this process, those individuals which are sold on the idea of fame, who are sold on the idea of endure forever in the present form, when we process somebody who is working on the computation, I mustn't change my mind because any change at all would be a lessening of survival, we find that the case has a tendency to break in half and then into small pieces by the introduction of this particular straight wire. Me do have straight wire. I don't care which one you call it. He have and do. Me do and have. It is really beingness processing, action processing, and time processing, all codified together into one process. So let's not lose sight of this process or its antecedents or the causes which lie within it and simply decide to, quote, remedy havingness while we are doing viewpoint straight wire. We're not doing the same thing at all. We are omitting, when we remedy this havingness, we're omitting the most significant point in be, have, and do straight wire, which is, of course, survive. Approval and attention connected to time. All right. A full rundown on this process would be as follows. Now, you notice that I'm going to give you this process as though have came first and do came second and be came last. And I'm doing that because that's the order you had better run them on the case. Runs like this. All right, you say to the preclear, you've asked him now what questions and so forth. You've used a little bit of viewpoint straight wire on him, and maybe you've handled four or five types of questions. Then you run this other process in on him. You say, well, now, what would... And here we can put the whole series of dynamics. I mean, it gets big as far as a scheme, as the German, oh, how a German would love this, schema. Oh, gorgeous. Now, what would dynamic, any one of the eight dynamics, let you have? Okay. Now, what would you let any one of the dynamics have? That would be the formula for the whole series. And the practical purpose, the first question which you would put to the preclear for practical purposes, is, well, what would they let you have? This is murder. It's a murderous question. And he's liable to pick up a time lag on it that is something like the round trip from here to the next galaxy. Now, remember to ask him right after that, let's not let him get one-sided about this. Now, what would you let them have? And just processing in a very highly loose, general fashion, those are really the first two questions you would ask him. Now, what'll they let you have? See that nebulous, super nebulous they? Well, that's a real good case entrance for him. And what would you let them have? Now, of course, we just go down the line. What would you let yourself have? What would yourself let you have? What would you let women have if he's a man? What would you let men have if he's a woman? What would you let groups have? What would groups let you have? What would mankind let you have? What would you let mankind have? What would animals let you have? What would you let animals have? And then, of course, what would space let you have? Of course, the answer to that is nothing, doggone stuff. And so on, up through the parts of the dynamic. And then what would spirits let you have? What would you let spirits have? And, of course, what would the devil let you have? That, by the way, is a very artificial thing to introduce God and the devil every time we say eighth dynamic. You know that eighth dynamic does not mean God and devil? Do you know that the eighth dynamic is infinity turned upright? And all the eighth dynamic is infinity. It's just the from here on out aspect. After we'd finished up having this, at the moment, that is to say, got him over to a point where he's at least stuttering, you see. I mean, you get him up that high, don't leave him in a point where he's speechless. You would go into, if you cared to, not necessary for you to do this at this time, but the complete process is, what will any dynamic let you do? What will you let any dynamic do? And, of course, that works out. The first nebulous question. Well, what will they let you do, and what will you let them do? Would be the first two questions you'd ask. By the way, you'd ask each one of these questions over and over and over. What would you let them do, and something else you'd let them do, and something else you'd let them do, and something else you'd let them do. Now, what would they let you do, and something else they'd let you do, and something else. Every time he comes up with the answer. And certainty interweaves in this, too. You know, this fellow's got to be certain they'd let him do that. On havingness, for instance, I ran one pretty clear and found out the only possible thing that they, this nebulous they, would let him have was a runny nose. That's the only thing he could be certain they would let him have. Well, anyway, we get the next bracket on this particular type of straight wire. And it, of course, is what would they let you be? What would you let them be? A formula being, what would any dynamic let you be? What would you let any dynamic be? And so we have there covered human experience. The most important of these, as the interweaving factor which is used with viewpoint straight wire, is, of course, havingness. You see, beingness is an equivalent of space, and you're already processing with viewpoint straight wire a great deal of space. Space, 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 space. So the missing factor as you process this straight wire would naturally be havingness, which would be time. And we're processing that in conjunction with the idea of approval. We're processing time and approval with the same question. That's why this acts like a bomb on a case. It is a terrible process. I mean, this process is a terrible process rather than otherwise. You can change the havingness level of a person, though, with this process faster than any other process with which I have any acquaintance. The havingness level, his acceptance level, because we have established a new thing in his approval level. You have acceptance level, and you know all about that. Well, now just have approval level, and you will see what I mean about it. This, in terms of havingness, of course, would be a donor level. What would you give away? And let's take that up for a moment. Do you realize that every case that you run into that's having a rough time can't give anything up? He can't give up a single aberration. He can't give up anything. And if you get a case that's in terrible condition, they will sit in your auditing room, a girl, for instance, gripping her purse, gripping her shoes, actually, with curled toes. Try and remove her coat so that she can be more comfortable. Oh, no, you don't. Try and remove her hat. Get her to set her purse down alongside of the couch. Now, I processed such a person once, and was, oh, many, many, many years ago, and was very struck by a single factor, which for years lingered as a little element in all the computations that had to be accounted for. I persuaded this girl to put her purse on my desk over 8 feet from her. I found out that was the one thing she couldn't do, so I thought that's as good an entrance point as any other. She's completely out of communication. We're having an awful time here. There isn't anything we can process on her. She couldn't run an engram or a lock or remember anything of her past. That purse is going to sit over here on this desk. I just willed it as such, and that's what's going to happen. And I finally persuaded her, inch by inch, to get that purse out of her perimeter of reach until she got it over on the desk and went back. This is a very remarkable case history. It's one of those that made a milestone. When she got that purse over on the desk and went back and sat down on the couch, she all of a sudden broke down and cried. Just heartbrokenly, bitterly, sobbed, became angry, became very antagonistic, took a look at me, and talked to me as a normal human being. And I looked at this as one of the most stunning exhibitions of a broken psychosis I could imagine. So I carefully observed everything which had taken place in the session so that no wild factor was sitting there, and just racked it up for future reference. Something in that room at that time had made this girl well. I was not willing at that time to assume it as a purse or anything of the sort. Maybe the way I communicated to her, maybe the factor that she felt she had finally succumbed to a man, if we granted Freud any latitude. She'd done something a man told her to do. Many of these things could have been the point. Well, that can be repeated today in the form of straight wire or in opening procedure to get the preclear to give something up. Let somebody else have something, though, rather than throw something away. Now, as soon as I understood that finally, that it was not just throwing something away that made a person well. It was giving somebody something. She had finally been able to give into somebody else's keeping something of her own. And this was what broke the back of the case. There are many interesting cases, but we're here not to hear about those fabulous cases which Hubbard has done. Times when Hubbard has sat cross-legged, trying to look comfortable, alongside of a fakir who was being very comfortable on a bed of spikes, whereas Hubbard couldn't even be comfortable on pavement. With his legs crossed, Americans don't sit well that way, you know. And we're not here to reminisce and chew up a lot of theory and to make something out of a theory. That, by the way, is part of the scientific method. You always make something out of a theory. We're not here to do any of those things. We're simply here to learn and examine what appear to be the basic fundamentals of existence and apply them as directly as possible as processes.